Hi, everyone, and welcome to Pastor's Ponderings. I'm Pastor Kevin from the Hinton Alliance Church, and
I'm Pastor Ryan,
and we're here together to bring to you some thoughts and to revisit Sunday's message and hopefully maybe ponder a few things about it and maybe dig up a few other things that maybe we didn't have time to say in the service. And so this is our way of kind of rethinking and reshaping and wandering through the message and hopefully learning some new things. And I'm glad you're here, and I hope that you can enjoy the journey with us. And so we look forward to spending this next half hour with you. And Lord willing, you'll be blessed as well.
Good day, Pastor Kevin. How are you?
Good day to you too. I'm doing well.
What a great message on Sunday.
Oh, thanks, Ryan.
Jesus Christ is our peace.
He is our peace.
That is a very timely message, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, given all the
unrest. The world is right now.
Yeah. No, it was, I think it was timely. You're right. I think we definitely need to hear again the message of how Jesus Christ brings us peace and what that looks like.
That's right.
And how it's supposed to inform us and then reshape us through the gospel and how we treat people.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. That's for sure.
I know the world primes us for division and conflict.
Yeah, yeah. I know that, and it's easy. I think it's easier to be combative than it is to be peace-loving or peaceful.
Right.
And peacemaker. Like, we're not called to be peacekeepers.
Right.
We are called to be peacemakers, which means we take the peace and we apply it to whatever it is situation
right.
we find ourselves in. Yeah, it was a fun one to preach, no doubt. It had a few peculiar passages in it.
Right.
And reflect it. We had to go back into the Old Testament. Even comments like circumcised and uncircumcised.
Right. Very, very vivid picture you gave on.
Right. Just because you remove a little skin from a penis does not make you a follower of Christ.
That's right. Yeah.
No, that was, I saw a few snickers.
Yeah,
for sure. No, but the whole thing of being circumcised was the sign, the evidence of being a covenant with God or being in covenant with God as a nation, right?
That's right.
And it was only the men who were circumcised, not the women. So there was none of that.
Yeah.
And it was because they were called to be a kingdom of priests.
That's right.
And they were called to be holy. Set and this apart. Was God's sign, right? That
right.
they would be that, that they would be that.
Yeah.
And of course, over the years, what ended up happening was is that because of that sign, they became, the Jewish people became more and more aloof from the rest of the world and thinking that they were special.
Right.
Which in some ways they are.
Right.
Because they're the chosen people, right? God decided to use the seed of Abraham. He didn't use anybody else's seed. So I guess in that sense, they were chosen.
Right.
But even in scripture, he makes sure he tells them, I'm not choosing you because you're powerful or you're, you know, awesome or anything else. In fact, he kind of chose a piddly little group of people.
Right.
Nomadic for mostly, you know, most of it. Didn't have a homeland. He was going to give them a homeland. It was sort of like they were really kind of the bottom of the barrel. And so he thought he would give them what they need. And part of that was being circumcised as a sign that you are a part of the covenant.
Right.
And I always wonder, like, I always think just humorously, I guess, how did people know? Like, how did you know if someone was a Jew or a Gentile?
Right.
Like, was there some kind of inspection?
Right. You show up to the temple and...
All right, drop them.
Right.
Who knows? Oh. It's just like, yeah. I don't understand it. But anyway.
And then I think, you know, back when Abraham was first given the sign.
Yeah.
Coming back to his family saying, all right, men, this is what needs to happen.
This is what's got to go on. Woohoo. Here we go. Get the flints out. Those flint knives. Yeah. Oh, man. But I guess it was because God was really pursuing a separate nation.
Right.
Right. He was truly saying, I have called you from out among everybody
That's
else.
Right.
So this is going to be the sign. This is going to be the difference.
Right.
And I think it had to be, in that sense, the creative organ, because it really is the propagator, right?
It's That's
the
right.
propagation of a nation. And so right from that heart, that right. center,
yeah.
Where this becomes for us the new, you know, a procreating device. Right. We'll call it that.
Yeah.
but I think that was why. Mm-hmm. So that's why he went for that particular sign, mm-hmm. because it was central to who they were. But he was calling them out. And I think if I understand what Paul is on about here, he is basically saying to the people who are now in Ephesians, because mm-hmm. they weren't Jewish people. They were Gentiles, quote unquote, because the world was divided into two groups.
Right.
For most of scripture,
yeah.
either you were God's chosen people.
Right.
Or you weren't. So that makes it really simple.
Yeah.
And he was telling them to remember that they were outside of all that came because mm-hmm. of the circumcision.
Right.
You know, the calling of a special nation out mm-hmm. from among everybody else.
Yeah.
And that God was going to bless through Abraham the nations. Mm-hmm. So there was a purpose for the separating.
Right.
Because he wanted to do something holy with them that they mm-hmm. wasn't going to do with any other nation. But it didn't mean that they were going to be set apart in such a way that they would never have contact with these other nations.
Right.
But that they were to be the light. They were mm-hmm. to show the way. That's why God gave them the Ten Commandments.
Right.
Because they were to be used as a instrument.
Right.
To help other nations. They would mm-hmm. see the light and how well things ran here. And even the civil laws and the religious laws.
Right.
All those laws and food restricted diet laws mm-hmm. were meant to, you know, in the conversation with somebody, you know, that's not kosher. What does that mean?
Right.
Well, it means I can't eat that. Well, why can't you eat that? Well, because mm-hmm. God said I shouldn't. Mm-hmm. And suddenly now there's a difference. So right. what? How come you're different? How come you don't eat this? And mm-hmm. I've been eating my whole life, pig. I love pork, you know, but you can't. Why is that? Mm-hmm. So then they got into these dialogues that were meant to lead them towards the light. Mm-hmm. But I think over time, what ended up happening tragically was that this thing that human beings did which was to circumcise the men mm-hmm. for the priesthood, the thing that they did became the thing that they focused on.
Right.
And it actually drove them away from being a light and not at all towards the Gentiles to help them. It was to remove them from their lives.
Right. It almost gave them this superiority complex.
Exactly. And then they got proud because
right.
God did give them the covenants. He
right.
did give them the commandments.
Yeah.
Which are all good and wonderful.
Yeah.
But they're given to us. Right?
Right.
So now we are the special yeah. people. We're the superior ones.
Right.
And you guys are all dogs.
Yeah.
Basically, that's how it went. That's what mm-hmm. ended up happening.
Right.
And so Jews hated Gentiles. They wouldn't be in the same room with them. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't go anywhere they were. If they ended up having to be near them, they had all these ceremonial washing laws to cleanse themselves because right. they had contact with someone who wasn't Jewish. Like mm-hmm. it just really went weird.
Yeah.
And far different than God had planned. Because everything human being touched gets more complicated.
That's right.
And further away from the intention, right?
Yeah.
And more control, more
right.
you know, power to me, kind of thing.
Right.
That's what ends up happening.
I think we get a picture of this, you know, this division that was set up that went, you know, not just a step too far, but many steps too far when, yeah. you know, Paul alludes to this wall of hostility, this dividing wall.
Yeah, yeah.
And we see that in Herod's temple, which is really the third temple that was built, mm-hmm. this physical dividing wall that yeah. was created to divide the Gentile court yeah. from the Jewish court. And almost this idea of, you know, Gentiles, you can only come so far. Yeah, you can kind of believe and you can kind of trust in God, but you can't really know him. You mm-hmm. can't get to know him like us Jews can. And instead of being the blessing to a nation, drawing all people to God, the Jews said, you can only come so far because we are the chosen ones.
Yeah.
And only us Jews can really know God.
When we went down, like you and I went down this little rabbit trail
right.
trying to discover, where did this wall come from? Mm-hmm. You know, how was it in Solomon's original temple that was designed by David mm-hmm. and set up in such a way that he was listening to the Holy Spirit? And when they mm-hmm. built it, apparently there was no
right
wall that separated. It was there was a courtyard for Gentiles mm-hmm. but it wasn't set up in such a way that it was meant to be like, you stay out there, we come in here,
right?
It was more for dialogue. It was more as a place where people could enter into the court.
Right.
You know, you go together to dialogue. And mm-hmm. that used to be the name of it, like a court. Mm-hmm. A courtyard was where you go to
right.
fellowship, you know, that kind of thing. So it wasn't meant to be negative as far as I could understand in mm-hmm. our limited.
Right.
You know, hopefully we're not too far down the
yeah.
off the track here. But then you can see the progression that originally it was meant that Israel would be light, but eventually it became Israel was hateful. And so they yeah. built a wall. Mm-hmm. And so in Herod's temple, this is the third temple now, the third version, it definitely had a wall that was meant to divide. It was right. called the wall, according to Paul, a mm-hmm. wall of hostility.
Right. yeah, like, that's wow. right. And it, you know, again, then those other commandments and laws that were supposed to be lived out by the Israelites so that yeah. they could be a light to the Gentiles instead, again, became a source of conflict and strife between them.
Yeah. It became a source of exclusion.
Yeah.
Which, okay, you say that, but you understand that it was in a sense an exclusion.
Right.
Because God was calling out the people of Israel to bring about the Messiah.
Right.
And they had to be a holy nation yeah. in order to bring the Messiah to the world.
Mm-hmm.
But they kept fumbling the ball.
Right.
They kept dropping it and making themselves out to be something they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
And God had specifically said,
right.
you're not, this, I'm not choosing you because yeah. you have anything to offer. I'm just choosing you, full stop.
Right.
You know, like, that's it. Don't think of yourself as special. I just chose you. And I think ultimately, though, you do feel special because he chose me,
mm-hmm.
right? So there's no way I don't think you could get around that.
Right.
But it was never meant to be followed through to the point where now I exclude everybody else because
right.
I got this.
Yeah.
And then Paul says that, you know, these covenants and these promises, they're precious.
Mm-hmm.
They are important because they really do show what God was up to. They reveal his plan.
Yeah.
And he was going to use the Israelites to bring about the Messiah, who would be the savior of the world.
Right. All
Not
the nations.
Just the Jewish
right.
people. Right. Yeah, that's what Paul was on about. The description of what happens when we were outside, he tells the people in Ephesus to remember that they didn't have an inclusion. They weren't circumcised. They weren't part of the promises that came with the covenants and the commands. And therefore, because of that, they were without hope
mm-hmm.
and without God in this world.
Yeah.
And I wish I could have had more time to kind of expand that mm-hmm. because it's interesting that Paul sees that without God in their lives, this true God, this one true God, mm-hmm. that they had created a whole thousands of gods,
right.
you know, and it was confusing and it was desperate and it mm-hmm. was fear-making because the gods were always angry.
Right.
They're never happy.
Never happy.
And so you can see that what they had was far, far inferior
mm-hmm.
to what the Israelites had.
Right.
You can see it. And yeah. he was asking them to remember mm-hmm. that's what you used to be
right.
like. Mm-hmm. And without hope, I always thought that was an interesting statement because are you saying that the world doesn't have any hope? Like there are people in the world who don't know Jesus, so they don't have hope mm-hmm. at all. But I think it's talking about a certainty.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's usually biblical hope.
Right.
It's filled with certainty.
That's right.
It's not a hope so.
No.
Or I hope it happens.
Right.
It is my hope is
right.
built on Christ.
That's right.
So it's certain.
Absolute certainty.
I'm not guessing. I'm not thinking that it may or may not.
Right.
I know my future.
Mm-hmm.
I have hope. Even if Corona destroys the world, I still have hope.
That's right.
Hope, because mm-hmm. it's not based on anything else, just on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're without him, he's telling the Ephesians, remember what it was like to go around life
yeah.
and not have absolute, sure hope.
Mm-hmm.
What a thing to have.
Yeah. To go from a point of desperation. On Sunday, you mentioned talking to a guy who said he had, you know, he followed 100 gods.
Yeah.
And would serve one and make the other one mad. So would have to turn around to the exact opposite and make that god happy while at the same time making another yeah, god
totally
helpless.
Yep.
And
confused.
Confused.
Yeah.
And then to go from that point I think we all have those stories. That story in our life as a believer is where we were before Christ. And when we truly recognize that, when we remember, I think that's something that does us well, not to go back into shame or embarrassment of our past, but to remember so that we can appreciate even greater where we are today because of Christ.
Yeah. For me, you know, growing up in a Christian home, like my parents became Christians when around the same time I was born.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't help me to remember my former life much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I remember, you know, being misbehaving.
Right.
And I remember, you know, doing stupid things and saying stupid things and getting involved in stupid relationships. And so I remember fumbling and stumbling, even though I had Christ.
Yeah.
And so for me to try and personalize this was very hard to do. Simply because I had grown up with the light all around me.
Right.
And I would have had to make a conscious decision to walk away from the light, to embrace the darkness, which didn't make sense to me. Why would I want to do that?
Yeah.
You know, not like I toyed or I maybe put my toe over the line to see what it was like.
Right.
But there was always hope. I can't shake it. I know where I'm going. When I die.
Right.
And I don't have to be afraid of fear. I don't have to be afraid because I have hope.
Yeah.
So it was difficult for me to come to that. I had to depend on stories like that man who was so proud of his heritage and all the gods that he worshiped. And yet if you push just a little, if you just peel back a little of that layer, he was so confused.
Yeah.
And the and I just thanked God for the simplicity.
Right.
Just the simplicity.
Yeah.
I know what this God expects from me.
Right.
Right. It's right here written in this book.
That's right.
I don't have to go anywhere else.
Very clear. Yeah.
I don't have to worry that if I please this God some, I'm going to make that God happy or happy or angry again or whatever. And I just realized how simple it. And then it brings you back to this idea of peace. Because it's so straightforward. I am sinful. He provides a sacrifice. And when I take that as my own, that sacrifice covers my sin. Right. It removes from me the death of sin, the stench of death.
Yeah.
And so now I can actually have peace.
Yeah.
I don't have to try to find peace. It's there. I need to connect to it because of the work that Christ did for me.
Right.
So to me, that to me, it just kind of was an aha moment, you know? Because there's no way you could have hope. You couldn't even have peace.
No, absolutely not.
You couldn't have either of those two things because you never were sure, ever. That guy is never sure.
Right. And even when we think of the things of the world that try to capture our attention and capture our passion and our commitment, and everything is so fleeting. Everything is uncertain. Whether it's, you know, careers or money or politics or even family or friends, so many things, they let us down. And we can't say that we have complete certainty in any of those things. It could be taken away at any moment. But the hope that we have in Christ will never be taken.
Ever.
Ever.
Yeah. Cool thought.
Mm-hmm.
Because it lends itself then to a non-fearful, hurried, sporadic, disorganized, chaotic life. It lends itself to simple,
that's right,
straightforward,
encouraging,
peaceful, hopeful life.
Yeah.
Which I think what Paul, he is really on about. He's trying to help them understand where they came from so that they would appreciate fresh that Christ has done this in the church.
That's right. And we have received this peace, and then comes the call. Now we're called not just to sit in it and enjoy it and let the world pass us by, but to now take that peace with us wherever we go and extend that peace and to be peacemakers.
Yeah, Yeah, not peacekeepers. I think there's a bit of peacekeeping, but peacemaking is what we're called to bring. Mm-hmm. So we bring that to bear. Like, and again, I think in Corinthians, he talks about how we are ambassadors of reconciliation. We mm-hmm. are we are to be Christ's representatives to the world, mm-hmm. but also to each other.
Right.
And so when we think about peace and we think of relationships, oh my goodness, look at all the destruction that goes on in homes and relationships between spouses and with kids and mm-hmm. bosses. And I mean, it just seems like they're all ready to be strained at a moment's notice.
Yeah.
But if I understand this correctly, it's the fact that he has not only preached peace to me, but he actually is my peace.
Right.
So if he is my peace, like his presence in my life is my peace, well then I have an obligation now to make sure mm-hmm. that I pass this along.
Right.
I can't just dam up all this peace and go, oh, it's so nice for me. Right. Too bad for you. Mm-hmm. Or to my wife or to my kids or whatever. Mm-hmm. I have to make sure that I am offering the same peace that I have running through my heart and mind and
right.
my emotions and giving it to the people who are around me at mm-hmm. all times.
Yeah. And, you know, this makes me think, you know, this dividing wall is broken down in Christ. And yeah. so we look at the church and there is such a wide variety of people
yes.
within the church.
Beautiful.
And in Christ, we are brought into unity. We are brought into peace.
Yeah.
And it makes me think, I think it's in 1 John where, you know, it calls love one another, and by your love for one another, the world will know you belong to God.
Yes.
And our love for each other is a huge testimony to the world. Mm-hmm. The world looks at the church and says, that doesn't make sense. You can have a liberal and a conservative, an NDP, Democrat, Republican, right. All in the same room, all loving each other, right. all having these different opinions about politics. We love each other. We have yeah. peace. We have unity.
Yeah.
It's unheard of.
Because these are common ground.
That's right. Mm. And as we are pursuing peace within the church, holding on to Christ, making him the center, has this as a source of our peace. That's such a huge testimony to the world around us, because the world is looking for peace. Yeah. You know, they're going about it by how can I convince everybody to agree with me? But they're looking for peace. But as we come together and reflect that peace and how we operate as Christ's body, as his church, the world is going to see that. And they're going to see that that's what they're longing for.
I agree. I think politics, especially nowadays, mm-hmm. is about peace if you agree with me.
Yeah.
If I disagree with you, mm-hmm. then I can't have peace anymore.
Right.
So it's a peace that is shallow because somebody has to give up ground. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Christ, the peace is on him. It's from him. It's about him. Mm-hmm. He is our peace.
That's right.
So when I encounter someone who thinks differently than me, it's okay mm-hmm. because ultimately we know what's going on. We ultimately know that politics is going to burn in hell.
Right.
And it won't matter what you say.
Right.
You can believe whatever you want now, but yeah. for now, in Christ, that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. And how we approach our lives and who we vote for and, you know, our different philosophies or arguments of how we go about living in a democratic society, mm-hmm. which is, I think, a great thing.
Right.
Then I can embrace you as a brother because mm-hmm. you disagree with me or whatever. Doesn't matter, because it's Christ that makes me right. able to embrace
that's
you.
Right.
So it becomes very secondary.
Right.
And I think that's exactly what Paul is trying to say here. He is trying to say that consequently, he says that, I like that word, all of this stuff about God giving us his peace and giving us access to the Father mm-hmm. by one Spirit, consequently, we who were far away have been brought near, and mm-hmm. God is building us into a household of faith. Mm-hmm. He is building us together into a holy temple that is filled with God's love and his Spirit. Mm-hmm. So in the church, you know, the world wants us to to believe in some kind of utopia. Mm-hmm. That I think if you study, like, you know, even if I consider the views, like, mm-hmm. say, in Canada, we have liberals and conservatives.
Right.
In the United States, where you were born,
right,
you have
Republican
Democrats.
And Democrats.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you look at the two views,
yeah,
there's parts of both of those views that actually make sense.
Right. Oh, definitely.
And they have even, you could even say they have somewhat Judeo-Christian values in them.
Mm-hmm.
They may be opposed in many other things, but there mm-hmm. are certain parts of both parties that encapsulate some of biblical thinking, mm-hmm. the worldview of the Judeo-Christian world.
Right.
It's the difference is how you get there. Right. Yeah. So they maybe hold these things together, mm-hmm. but they have different ways of getting there.
Right.
And so to me, it seems like if I was to back away from that, it seems as though what they're trying to do through politics is to bring about mm-hmm. something that the Bible talks about
yeah.
without Christ.
Yeah, definitely.
And so it's going to get muddled up.
Right.
And it's going to get full of humanness.
Yeah.
And everything human beings touch get more and more complicated.
Right.
And often more and more wicked
mm-hmm.
because we go further and further away from
right.
the actual intention of God in the scriptures through mm-hmm. Christ.
Yeah.
So there's an admirable part of politics that mm-hmm. is good, and right. especially when they make good decisions, right?
Right,
for the good
definitely.
Of the common good.
Yeah.
But when they don't, or when they try to do that without Christ, that's when it all gets all complicated mm-hmm. and weird.
Yeah.
And so in the church, though, we don't have to do that.
No.
We are called by Christ to fulfill these mandates.
Mm-hmm.
To be good to the immigrant, to
right.
watch out for the foreigner.
Yeah.
Which I think Democrats would say they kind of hold that.
Right.
Or liberals. In
definitely.
In Canada would be liberals.
Right.
They kind of hold this place for,
yeah.
for immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas more conservative people maybe are like legal immigration
right.
is important. You got to fit the
yeah.
right category. So you see that and you go, okay. So
yeah.
both have something about immigrants, foreigners.
Right.
One is a little more like open the gates and just
right.
let them all pour in. And the other is a little more, no, we can't do that because what about all our finances
right,
and blah,
yeah.
blah, blah. So, but the bottom line is God has told us in Christ that we should watch out for the foreigner, that
right.
we should be careful for
yeah.
them. So again, in Christ, we can mm-hmm. meet those things, but outside
yeah.
it becomes politics and
definitely.
It gets all divided.
Yeah.
Tragically.
Yeah, it's getting to the point where our hope is in eternity in Christ. And so the things of this world matter less because of that. What matters the most is what is in Christ and is this other person in Christ. That's our goal. Go and make disciples of all nations. And so when our hope is in Christ, our purpose is in Christ, then everything else in this life is just an avenue of expressing that hope so that others may know it.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of pushing a political agenda, instead of pushing a race or a socioeconomic status, it's how do we use those things as Christians, as followers of Christ, to reach other people with the good news of Jesus?
Yes.
And so whether it's immigration policy or whether it's our finances or whether it's who we associate with on a regular basis, it's how are we using those things to spread the good news of Jesus Christ so that other people may have that eternal hope?
That's right. I think that nails it. Definitely. Because you want them to have that hope.
Mm-hmm.
And with me, for me, like personally, I think I have to hold, especially politics,
mm-hmm.
in a special category
mm-hmm.
where all of this matters,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't.
Right.
Because it matters because it affects how we live.
Right.
But it doesn't matter in the sense that God raises one up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it says in the
scripture.
Right. And he puts another down.
Yeah.
And so he'll use whatever system, right? Whatever
right.
system comes, like if it's a king or a queen,
yeah.
You know, if it's that kind of system,
mm-hmm.
or even if it's like something more nebulous or maybe even mm-hmm. diabolical, like
right.
a communist system that tries to exclude God.
Yeah.
Even in those, he rules the nations. That's
mm-hmm.
clear in the scripture.
That's right.
He raises up leaders and he puts one down. It's all based on his agenda,
mm-hmm.
which we don't get to see.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, we can be upset because Mr. Trudeau is in the parliament right now as
right.
the prime minister,
yeah.
right? We can be upset.
Yeah.
Or we can be upset that before when Mr. Harper was in.
Right.
Right. We can be upset because of that. But the bottom line is, as believers, it doesn't really matter who sits on that seat.
No.
They're there because God allowed them to be there.
That's right.
So if I think that way and I pursue Christ, then it doesn't really affect how I live.
Right.
Because even if in a, say, in a heavy-handed political system that doesn't allow for churches or doesn't allow for public gathering of Christians, mm-hmm. like even in that case, like I've met Christians who lived in those worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Did that stop the church?
Absolutely not.
No, because it's totally separate.
Yeah.
It's another kingdom.
That's right.
That is advancing. Mm-hmm. And God says, you know, it's going to keep going and the gates of hell can't prevail. We're going to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
And the reason why it grows and grows and grows
is it offers peace. It offers peace to us.
That's right.
And it holds out hope in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess in that sense, you know, we go about our business. Of course, we want to be good citizens.
Right.
So we vote.
Yeah.
We want to take place, you know, take part in the marketplace.
And right.
Have ideas and mm-hmm. have our expressions given out. And but that's not the end game.
No.
Nope. The end that's game right. is found in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing peace to the world.
That's right.
His, and I guess that's just Christ.
That's right. Yeah. What a challenge.
Mm.
You know, things are so divisive, and 2020 hasn't helped in any way in that regard.
Boy, are you right about that? Huh.
But it's great. A great thing to know. Our peace and our hope is found outside of this world, and it's in Christ.
I think it even attacks this whole idea of racism. I know it's a big construct, and probably we've run out of time, but
yeah.
Just the idea that the church is the place where all the nations can come.
Mm-hmm.
It truly is a place of prayer for all nations.
That's right.
Nobody is excluded.
Every tribe, every nation, every tongue.
Right.
Yeah.
Even in our little town, our little church, we have many nations.
That's right.
Which is so fun to see because it's so white around here. Everybody's
right. Oh, I know.
But you get to see pockets of other nationalities
right.
and the beauty of the differences in the cultures.
Yeah.
And the beauty is it even greater because we are all in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so those things don't become divisive. They become kind of wonderful. They kind of add spice and
that's
flavor
right.
and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So to me, I just, I really believe that the hope of the world is not in saying, you know, no more racism.
Right.
Good luck with that.
Right.
It actually can happen in Christ.
That's right.
In Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a great challenge. And we pray that you are found in Christ, that you know the hope that you have in Christ. Be blessed this week.
Yes, be blessed.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Pastor's Ponderings. We hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to diving in again with you next week. But until then, keep loving God and serving people.